This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, the 7 o'clock hour, and away we go in the Smoothie King Center. The Pelicans and Magic have tipped off. Currently, Orlando leading 6-4 right now. You can hear that game over on the big 870 AM. We'll definitely be keeping tabs on it throughout the remainder of this show. Starting lineup for the Pelicans tonight, you had C.J. McCollum, Bruce Brown, Trey Murphy, Zion Williamson, and Carlo Mackovic. Looking forward to seeing the finish of this game when we get done, Charlie. But really looking forward, obviously, the start of SEC baseball tomorrow due to the threat of inclement weather, even starting later in the evening in Baton Rouge tomorrow, the 6:30 initial first pitch for the LSU Tigers against Missouri has now been bumped up. It's a 4:30 first pitch with 4 o'clock pregame coverage that we'll have on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app for you. The Tigers, you know, have been impressive so far through non-conference play, and we'll see if they can keep that rolling against Mizzou, who has been pretty unimpressive, at least through the start of the season thus far. But it is the SEC, and it's baseball. You know, anything can happen.
Yes, unimpressive, but more inconsistent from Mizzou. Like, they picked up a couple good wins. Mark Etheridge mentioned their win over Connecticut was a nice W against a good program, but then they lose, like, a game to Binghamton. You know, it's been awkward for Mizzou early on.
Right, 8-8 right now.
But, you know, Jay's said this multiple times throughout the early season, you know, 5 games a week, 4 games this week, his team just stays locked in and focused. And for the amount of new faces that are on this roster, that's a testament to him. I know that he's not going to puff his chest out, but Jay Johnson's awesome, man. Like, he's got this team rolling. Every single game, it feels like they're laser focused, ready to go. I'm not worried about LSU overlooking Mizzou this weekend. Let's just say that much. Yes, Missouri's at the bottom of the conference as far as non-conference record, but they're still coming in as an SEC opponent, and I think LSU's going to see this more as a chance, like, let's get off to a good start and take care of business at home in front of our home crowd at Alec Box Stadium and take down this Missouri team in 3 games this weekend.
No, like you mentioned with Jay Johnson, man, oh, man, what a hire there. He's been awesome. And, you know, transitioning from the great Paul Maneri, now you got Jay Johnson. The program for the Tigers has been mighty impressive when you look at the skippers they've had in the history there.
Agreed 1,000%, Steve. And so we'll see what happens this weekend. As you mentioned, it's baseball, so anything can happen. But I feel pretty good about LSU entering this weekend series.
checking out our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We got James on the line. You've been holding, James. I want to hear what you got to say. I know some of it's got here. You want an NFL draft talk. So what you got for us today, man? Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, no worries. Listen, I don't know what happened. Maybe Obama sold, bought the team or something, but I'm not a GM right now. I'm just
put kidding. It on, listen, James.
So here's the thing. You know, Aaron Rodgers actually really wants to go to Minnesota, but the problem is the kid that they drafted last year has got 2 years remaining on his contract.
JJ.
I don't think at least I wouldn't give Olave another 2 years left on this team. I think he's looking for his, after next year. It's whether or not we're going to give him an option. But at any rate, here's my deal. I like to trade Olave to the Vikings, and we give up our number one this year. We pick up the kid from Michigan, the quarterback, and we get a second and third round pick this year.
Okay,
that would put them in Super Bowl contention.
James, I'll say
and
this. Go ahead. Finish your point.
Okay. In the second round, I want speed. I'm really in my feelings that we gave up MVS. He wanted less than $6 million.
Unfortunate to see him go for sure.
Yeah. Picked him up. Yeah. But anyway, Dante Thornton, Tennessee wide receiver from my area, the Maryland area, he's 6'5", 210 pounds, ran a 4.3 and a 40 at the combine, blew it up. That's your young MVS. And then in the other second round pick, I would go with the kid that's from Baton Rouge, another Tennessee guy, Dylan Sampson, third round. I want that big 6'7", 245 pound defensive tackle from Kentucky. I know you guys.
Yeah, Deion Walker.
I think you know his name.
Yeah, no, he's a weird prospect. We've talked to a couple different guys about him. That the plays where he shines, he looks like a first round pick. But he's just not very consistent, like the work ethic kind of questions, I think, with Deion Walker. James, what I was going to say when I initially cut you off there was with Chris Olave, a lot of kind of buzz, and this is just what I've seen from fans mostly, like they want the Jets to make a swing for Olave because now you have Garrett Wilson and reuniting with his quarterback and Justin Fields and kind of getting the Ohio State gang back together. But I think it's an interesting idea that you bring up. I'm not sure where Rodgers is going to end up. I think potentially Pittsburgh, Steve. What do you think? Like, I don't think he's going to stay in New York with the Giants. I think the Giants are probably going to be all in on Shedeur Sanders in the draft after Cam Ward goes 101 to the Titans. But Rodgers and Russell Wilson are kind of the two last dominoes to fall in the quarterback market, with Sam Darnold going to Seattle and then also Justin Fields going to the Jets. And that kind of goes back to what I was mentioning, that Jets fans want to make the move for Olave to pair him with Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson, all college teammates at Ohio State.
Man, Aaron Rodgers going to Minnesota would just complete the whole Brett Favre cycle for him.
It would. It's pretty funny. It's an interesting idea. I just don't know. Like, because Minnesota, it feels like they're making a lot of moves to win now.
Right.
And it, like, I mean, JJ, yes.
We don't know anything about him. That's the problem.
As far as a young quarterback that hasn't played a snap, he's going into a fantastic situation. Like, you can't ask for a much more loaded roster than what JJ is going into. And, I mean, he sits basically the first year because of the injury. Sam Darnold makes himself some money with that Vikings team and ends up getting paid with the Seahawks. And so, yeah, no, the last couple dominoes to fall, James, will be interesting to see. I don't know if they would trade JJ, even if they sign Rodgers.
Right.
It feels like Rodgers would probably be like a one-year deal, and then you have JJ waiting in the wings again.
Right.
To where, I mean, a former basically top 10 pick, he sits a second year, and then he finally gets the kind of quote-unquote keys to the kingdom, I guess. So, yeah, I don't know. And I don't think the Saints are necessarily interested in trading Olave either. But that's just kind of my opinion.
No, and I understand that you know, there might be the concern for his concussion history.
Yes.
With Olave. I'm curious to know, like you saying, with the rest of the QB market now, with Russell Wilson, does he end up maybe with the New York Giants? I don't see him a return to him for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, I think he's gone. And that's why I said Rodgers maybe to the Steelers, because they need a quarterback. It's awkward.
I know there's been questions, too, of what the Tennessee Titans could possibly do, because they have, obviously, questions at the position as well.
I'm telling you right now, Steve, I think with what the Titans have done this offseason, spending money on the offensive line, Dan Moore got paid a gigantic contract for what he is as a player, by the way. But they focused on offensive line. I think it's going to be Cam Ward, one-on-one. And I don't think there's really much of a question about it. The Titans get the best quarterback in this class. And then that kind of leaves the Giants, you know, you got to either figure out, are we getting a veteran in the building? Are we getting a Russell Wilson? I don't think Aaron Rodgers is staying in New York. I think he's out.
I think he wants out, too.
I think he's probably going to end up in Pittsburgh, maybe Minnesota, to complete the Brett Favre arc, which is pretty funny. However, I think the Giants at that point would go Shedeur Sanders with the 103. And so those two quarterbacks go in the top three picks, and New York and Tennessee go into the 2025 season with rookie QBs.
You think that Tennessee would just start Cam game number one?
I think so. You can't.
Yeah, you can't draft a quarterback that high and bench him.
And also, like, their other option is Will Levis. And by all accounts, Will Levis, Justin Mello for the Draft Network made a great point about this. They can't sell that to the Titans fan base, bringing back Will Levis for another year as the starter. And especially if you take Cam Ward 101, he's going to be the day one starter in Tennessee.
What we're going to do is take a break. When we get back into our college baseball talk with Joe Healy, writer for D1Baseball.com, as we preview the first weekend of conference play around the SEC. Coming back with more right after this on WWL.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We're on Conference Play Eve, everybody. Steve Geller and Charlie Long, anxious for the start of SEC play, helping us break it all down. Joe Healy, National College Baseball writer and SEC Extra on D1Baseball.com. How the heck you doing today, Joe?
Doing well. Doing even better considering conference play starts tomorrow after a non-conference slate that felt like it just dragged on forever for whatever reason. So excited to finally have some best-on-best games coming up.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to go right there with you off the bat. It looked like, it really felt like at least preseason play for the SEC in non-conference play with everybody pretty much dominating the whole way. But I felt it dragged on too this year. What were your just overall impressions of what we saw from some of these top teams, the big contenders in the conference right now?
Yeah, outside of Texas A&M, you know, which we can get into specifically if you'd like, but I mean, outside of Texas A&M, which took some losses you didn't expect them to take and just didn't look like the team we expected, outside of those guys, you know, the SEC really did dominate the non-conference portion of play to the point where my colleague Mark Etheridge crunched these numbers, and the SEC won in non-conference play 70 games, 7-0, by 10 or more runs, and only lost 35 games total. So they won twice as many by 10 as they lost. So, it was just dominance. And look, just about every team played one tough weekend, so I give them credit. I think sometimes the SEC gets a little more criticism for not playing anybody than they deserve because they do tend to play in these big-time tournaments and what have you, and some teams have rivalry series. But yeah, they just kind of ran roughshod over everybody. And so I think everybody's kind of ready for, you know, these teams to be playing some like talented teams.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, 12 top 25 squads in the SEC, you're bound to have some top 25 matchups, and opening weekend's kind of flushed with them, four of them to be exact. And I guess you brought up Texas A&M, so let's start there in College Station, hosting an Alabama team that went 17-1 in non-conference play. You know, you mentioned Texas A&M kind of got off to a slow start, 10-6 so far, but still a top 20 squad overall. What do you kind of expect from this weekend matchup?
Yeah, that one's going to be really intriguing. I think having it in College Station certainly helps. But what's interesting about the matchup for me is that the thing that I'm most worried about with A&M, because the two issues they've had are defense and their offense has been a little bit asleep. I'm not really so worried about the offense for a couple of reasons. One is it's a really talented position player group. And secondly, the top hitter who's kind of struggling is Jace LaViolette. But if you look at the batted ball data, he's still hitting the ball hard. It just so happens that he's just hitting it at people right now. I think that luck will change as time goes on. But the defense is worrisome. And the reason I say it with this Alabama team is because it is an Alabama team that has an old physical position player group. The ball is going to be in play quite a bit. And while hitting might slump, certain pitchers might get into a slump, typically defense doesn't slump, and you kind of are who you are defensively. Now, that's not to say that A&M can't show improvement over the next 10 weeks, but right now, them playing defense like they are right now is not going to be good enough if they actually want to be an Omaha team.
Looking at the, the biggest matchup, I think everyone's kind of keyed in and locked in onto right off the bat in the conference is number 2 Tennessee taking on number 7 Florida. Is this one going to live up to the billing, you think, that we're going into this weekend?
I think so. We start off with maybe the best pitching matchup we're going to get all season. Liam Doyle for Tennessee against Liam Peterson for Florida. A couple Liams on the mound. But Liam Doyle's been so dominant this year. Think about it this way. He's recorded 61 outs this year, Liam Doyle has. 47 via strikeout. And so he's just the most dominant pitcher we have right now. And the fastball is one of the most elite pitches, not just this year in college baseball, but we've ever seen in college baseball. The pitch goes up to 99 miles an hour, but not just that. He gets a lot of swing and miss on it. The whiff rate on that pitch is 60%. And just to give you an idea, typically a good whiff rate on a fastball is about 30%. So he's about twice as good in terms of getting swings and misses on his fastball. So there's that. And then the Liam Peterson, like by comparison, his stats don't really look that impressive, but if they weren't being compared to Liam Doyle, they would look great. He's taken a huge step forward. Last year was an up and down freshman season. And both teams obviously are really physical and offensive. And with that series being played in Knoxville, which tends to play very offensive, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a whole bunch of strikeouts, but also a pretty good number of home runs by the time the weekend's over.
Joe, I think we spoke to you a couple weeks ago, and you mentioned one of those teams that you were buying early on in non-conference slate was Auburn, and now they sneak into the top 25 at number 25, and they open SEC play against number 16 Vanderbilt at home. Just want to get your thoughts on this matchup.
Yeah, I really like the position player group at Auburn. That's what stood out to me is their freshmen are ready to go. Like there are other teams that's the case. LSU obviously has had their freshmen. Tennessee has their freshmen, but Auburn's too, with Chase Fralick hitting 400, Chris Rimbert swinging the bat well, Bub Terrell swinging the bat well. The one concern I have for this weekend with Auburn is that Ike Irish is going to be out. He's not expected to do any sort of baseball activity for about 10 days. And that's baseball activity, not even to say he'll play in 10 days. That's just he's going to start doing stuff again in 10 days. So that's not ideal timing for that, but I do like, even without him in the lineup, because the reality is he really hadn't been swinging the bat that well. So they've kind of been doing it without him already. So I have a decent bit of confidence they're going to be able to do something offensively. The key is just going to be, what do they get on the mound? Right now they have one starter really they trust, and that's Sam Dutton, who was at LSU last year. He's pitched really well, but outside of that, they're leaning on a freshman in Christian Chatterton. They've been starting Cade Fisher, the Florida transfer, but I think he's battling an injury because he's only thrown 7 innings this year in 3 starts. Obviously, that's not what you're looking for there. And I don't know what to make of Vanderbilt yet. I like the talent on the mound. That's a story we've told with Vanderbilt for 20 years now. But the lineup is just, we're going to have to see. They've got some promising young players, but it's a big difference to do it against the early season non-conference schedule, and quite another to do it against SEC competition.
Definitely looking forward to Tiger versus Tiger starting tomorrow. It's now a 4:30 first pitch in Alec Box Stadium between LSU and Missouri due to the threat of incoming weather. You look at this Missouri squad, obviously they've had a tough start to the season. Looks like they're in for a rough season overall for them. When you looked at some of the matchups that they split a 4-game series against Evansville and Binghamton, now having to face, you know, a top-ranked LSU squad. But if Mizzou's going to give LSU any problems, what do you think could be an issue for the Bayou Bengals to face against Mizzou?
Well, it's tough to say because it really has been a tough start to the season. But if we're gonna, which is what you're asking me, if we're gonna play pretend and kind of come up with a scenario that works out for them, it's a couple things. One is that I do think Missouri's lineup is better than it was last year. Last year, it felt like, hey, we've got a lot of guys with speed, and we're going to try to make things happen on the bases. But if that wasn't happening, they didn't really have anything offensively. This team can hit a little bit more. It's still not the most physical team. I still don't expect them to hit a ton of home runs, but they've got some guys who can really swing it. And my favorite of them is Caden Nicoletto. He's an Australian who played at a Division II school in Missouri and transferred to Mizzou. And he's one of those classic, just good college players where he's not the most athletic guy. He's not very tall. It's not like the most, like, you know, he's not like a, you know, he doesn't have the best body, but he can really swing. Like, he's hitting 422, and it's just a pure feel to hit. And it's the kind of guy that, again, not a big prospect, but guys like that can succeed in college baseball, and they've got one at Mizzou. So, you know, it's one of those things where if LSU, some of its young pitchers maybe that haven't been in SEC play, if for some reason it just feels different to them, you know, maybe Mizzou can string some hits together, but I have a hard time imagining any realistic scenario where Mizzou really puts up a lot of resistance this weekend.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, it's baseball, so really anything can happen. However, I wanted to bring up, you know, LSU's offense. They're just white hot right now on this 12-game winning streak, hitting .361. But also, the plate discipline has been so impressive. I think it's kind of a Jay Johnson staple, so to speak, but they're really patient at the plate. You know, as far as team walks, 122 in non-conference to 106 strikeouts, that will play anywhere. And I want to get your thoughts specifically on Jared Jones. And, you know, he's been white hot at the plate as well, hitting .510 during this 12-game winning streak. But it feels like teams aren't going to want Jared Jones to beat them. And because of that, 15 walks to 9 strikeouts. We talked with Mark Etheridge about this earlier on in the week. And if that continues into SEC play, this guy's going to be unstoppable.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, on a team level, that's obviously huge, because the last thing you want someone to do is start pressing or feel like they need to do too much. They swing at pitches out of the zone, and that's obviously counterproductive. So the idea that, you know, Jared Jones has a lot of protection, which allows him to say, you know, if you're going to walk me, that's fine, because, you know, I've got, you know, all these other hitters around me that are swinging the bat really well right now. And then on an individual level for Jared Jones, I think I talked to you guys about this before the season or early on in the season, that, you know, part of the reason Jared Jones is back is, yes, because, you know, LSU provided him with a good opportunity to come back, and maybe he didn't get drafted as high as he wanted, or wasn't projected to get drafted as high as he wanted. But with him coming back, I also think there's some element of, hey, I need to become a more well-rounded player so that I can have my future in professional baseball that I want. And he's probably never going to be a standout defensive player. He's probably going to be a first base only. Maybe you could put him in a corner outfield spot, something like that. But the element that he's showing is that plate discipline. Can you be someone who in the pro game draws a lot of walks in addition to being able to hit the ball out of the ballpark? From a prospect standpoint, that's what we're talking now. Because otherwise, you're just a big bat that hits for some power, and you know, there's some strikeout, there's some swing and miss there. Those guys kind of are a dime a dozen at the pro ball level, so he needed to show some other elements of his game, and so far he's doing that.
Well, looking at Mizzou's starting pitcher for tomorrow, wondering what you know about lefty Ian Loesch. I know he's got a 5.12 ERA, 19 and a third innings pitch, but 26 strikeouts. So he's been getting touched up, but he's also been, you know, able to strike out a significant amount of batters. What can the Tigers expect from this senior on the bump across from them?
Yeah, he's actually a good story because he's really battled through injuries. He's a fifth-year senior. At times, he's shown a lot of potential for Mizzou, and just the injuries have been kind of unrelenting. So it's a good story to get him back on the mound. I've also learned, because I was mispronouncing his name for several years, he actually pronounces it Losey, which is interesting. Not like Kyle Loesch,
right,
the old big leaguer. Yeah, so Ian Loesch, because I went years like mispronouncing it to his face, basically. but it's going to be a low 90s fastball, but the money pitch for him is the slider. It's got a better than 50% whiff rate. He'll also throw in a cutter and a curveball and a changeup, so he's got a five-pitch mix. It's a kitchen sink type guy. He's going to throw everything at you, but he wants to play that fastball off the slider, and if he's able to do that, then he can probably have some success. But if the slider's not sharp, If the fastball is not located well because the velocity is good, not great, it could be a long day for him. But he probably has the highest ceiling of anybody that Mizzou has in its rotation right now.
Joe, your evaluation of LSU's weekend rotation, it's been the same thing all season long with Cade Anderson kind of helming on Fridays and then Anthony Ianson on Saturdays, Chase Shores on Sundays. Cade, you know, from what I've seen so far from him, gets off to really strong starts and then maybe runs into a little bit of issue later on in his starts. Ianson's kind of like the opposite, where if he gets touched up, he'll get touched up early. But as soon as he gets into the proverbial rocking chair, we'll call it, he just gets going. And you saw that on full display against North Alabama last weekend. And then Chase Shores has been really solid in his return first action from Tommy John surgery. It's been the same weekend rotation so far. I just want to get your evaluation of what you've seen so far from these guys.
Yeah, I think I'm right with you in kind of what I've seen with them, but I think in the big picture, I'm really confident with what I've seen. This is going to be a strong rotation if they stay healthy, because I think you can work around some of that stuff. With Cade Anderson, I think it's just a matter of the coaching staff figuring out, okay, when is kind of the point? Is it third time through the order? Is it after X number of pitches? Is it after a long inning when the offense has put up, you know, six runs or whatever? Like, I think they'll pinpoint when it is that maybe he starts to fall off the cliff a little bit, whether it's stuff or effectiveness or what have you. And then once you know that, you can kind of work around that. Guys that have that kind of issue in college baseball are very common. So that can be worked around. And I think with Ianson, it's a matter of letting him know, which I'm sure the coaching staff is doing, like, hey, man, like, we know that when this all said and done, you're going to give us, you know, six, seven innings and the team, the opposition is going to have scored a couple of runs, and that's okay. You've just got to keep your head down early on and just keep battling, because we know you're going to get there. And them being patient with them and saying, hey, we got you. The early hook is not coming. Work through this. You got this. That can be a big deal for pitchers. But I think the biggest thing for me is that not only are the numbers pretty good for Chase Shores, but he looks like the guy we thought he could be. His numbers are not as sparkling as Anderson and Ianson, but for me, it's less about that with him and just more about how does he look physically. And to me, at least with the eye test, having not seen him in person yet, but he looks like the guy physically that we were expecting LSU to have. And it finally seems like he's starting to put it all together.
Always appreciate your time, Joe. You going to be heading to any specific location this weekend?
I am not, for this reason. My colleague Mark Etheridge, I don't know if he mentioned it to you guys, he is embarking starting Friday in Starkville with Mississippi State and Texas, a 10 games in 10 venues in 10 days tour.
That's
through
amazing.
The Southeast, which, you know, it sounds great and also exhausting. I'm sure
right,
he's gonna have a great
true.
Time and then sleep for 3 days when he gets home. So since he's out and about, I will be at home, because it's just nice to have somebody who has eyes on, you know, four games at once or what have you. So I'll be home, but he'll be out and about.
Awesome stuff. Always appreciate you, Joe. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You guys too.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Healy, National College Baseball writer and SEC Extra on D1Baseball.com. Follow him on Twitter at Joe Healy D1 for all that great info. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll hear a little bit of cuts from Jay Johnson and what he had to say as the Tigers get ready for SEC play starting tomorrow. Be right back after this on WWL. What's happening back on Sports Talk? Me and Charlie has been talking about SEC play starting up in college baseball for the LSU Tigers this weekend. They've got Missouri on the docket, are just 8-8 on the year. The LSU has a 17-1 record. We heard from Coach Jay Johnson earlier today. Going to get into a little bit of what he said. He was asked, how does he get his guys ready for the start of SEC play?
I think the things that this team does well, if they continue to do those well, then they can find success. And I think not attaching or adding anything to how we play is a really important staple of any program that I'm involved with. Now, with that being said, there's a recognition that the competition level in our league is superior to everywhere in college baseball. And that's awesome, because when you have good players that are confident and talented, that usually brings out the best in them. And that's what I'm excited, you know, for league play. Other than that, it's really business as usual. And that's with great respect for what's coming our way this weekend and beyond.
Business as usual for the Bayou Bengals. Johnson was asked, has his schedule so far gotten this team ready for SEC play? I mentioned the Tigers 17-1 in non-conference play so far.
You know, the last couple years I've tried to get like an extra game in prior to league play starting. And I don't know that really, you know, helped or hurt, you know, in terms of last year. You know, I think in terms of this year, you know, I think playing 10 games over the last 2 weeks has been good. You know, you kind of have to get to the next thing and be prepared, and keeps everybody moving. And that's kind of what happens here in league play. Like, whether we play great or don't play great this weekend, next weekend's coming, and you have to be able to move on. And I've always felt mastering the art of being able to move on, good or bad. I got some advice from one of the coaches in the league, kind of indirectly, before I came here, you know, and I just listened to something he had said about playing in the SEC, of not making too big a deal of success or failure as you're going through it. And the one positive about it being so tough is you always kind of have a chance if you just stay together. And we did that last year. One of the things I'm as proud of is in my time here is sticking with it through that tough, you know, 3 or 4 weeks and coming out on the positive side of it. And I thought that was good advice that I really leaned into last year. And, you know, whether it's going great, you know, I think we won 6 and tied one of the first 7 series in 23, but we kind of just kept going, you know, hit a little adversity and you just kind of keep going. So I'm careful not to label too much of it.
That LSU pitching rotation remaining the same going into conference play. Friday night starter Kate Anderson, that'll be Anthony Ianson, and followed by Chase Shores on Sunday. Has Jay Johnson learned what he's needed to so far from his pitching staff?
I think that's always evolving. And it's just, again, I've said this before, with players of the age like we coach and with the experience level that they have or they don't have, I think drawing too many hard conclusions, you have to be careful of that. So I try not to do that. With that being said, you know, you see things that allow you to project a little bit better. And it, just with the players, the more experience they get, the better prepared they are for certain things and situations. And I do feel good about knowing what we have. And I said that before we started the season, and that's played out to be true. You know, you're going to get bloodied a little bit, you know, as you go through this thing. And I think our response to some of the adversity that we've had, whether the one game that we lost, excellent response to that. Been down in a few games, excellent response to those. Getting a lead, extending the lead, excellent response there. So I see some things that make me optimistic, but you kind of have to keep reinvesting and doing those things.
LSU going up against the Missouri squad, just 8-8 on the season, but don't tell Jay Johnson that. He doesn't care what the Mizzou's record is right now.
It's very easy if you're not in the weeds to just like label somebody as something, you know, but you know, things aren't always as they seem. You know, Ian Loesch is a really good pitcher that we're facing tomorrow. I think he had a couple or 2 or 3 scoreless innings against us last year. Has a good style that he pitches to. You know, Tim Jamison, pitching coach there, was the longtime head coach when you're talking about Scherzer and Aaron Crow and that really good run that Missouri had. I think they were in a super regional mid-2000 to 2010s, whatever you call that. You know, Carrick's a good coach. Obviously, you guys all know that. They have a style of play, and it's going to be a good challenge.
First pitch tomorrow, folks, 4:30 right here on WWLAMFM.com in the Odyssey app. Pre-game coverage will be starting at 4 o'clock. Looking forward to the Tigers in action against Mizzou, getting ready for that big weekend of SEC action. Hallelujah, it's finally here. We're going to take a break and update you on the Pelicans when we get right back after this on WWL. checking in on those Pelicans before we get out of here, and it is not a pretty night for the Birds right now. The Orlando Magic have a 57-35 lead over the Birds with about 2:48 left till halftime. And you mentioned them in the sports flash, Charlie, that Paolo Banchero is going off tonight.
Yeah, there's something with the Magic. I don't really know
why. Just one of those teams they have a problem with.
The Pelicans have lost six straight to Orlando, and they only play them twice a year because they're in the East. Thank God it's not more than that, because they just seem to lose every time they play. Like, first time this season, they get blown out 115-88, and right now, 57-35 lead for Orlando in the Smoothie King Center. And Banchero, man, 7-8, 3-4 from 3, 19 points in the first half. I just don't understand how Orlando has an 11-21 record with this guy on the floor. He's a superstar level talent, and I mean, he's still kind of developing into that, you know, future All-NBA type of player. But still, it's one of the weird anomalies of basketball, is that when this guy's been on the floor so far this year, he's been losing a lot of games. Not tonight, though.
Well, hopefully the Pels can make some kind of run here after halftime. Right now, like I mentioned, 57-35, Pels trailing the Orlando Magic, and hear that game over on 870 AM. Have a good night, everyone. Remember, LSU baseball, a 4:30 first pitch tomorrow on WWL. Have a good night, everyone.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.